House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen by the people of the several states. And they say, well, D.C. is not a state, so you can't give it rights. But what they never talk about is Article 3 of the Constitution, which has the courts in it. And it says the judicial power, meaning the federal courts, shall extend to all cases and controversies between citizens of two different states. Now, according to Article 3, you'd be beyond the...
This is the Quality News Network. The White House has so far given no indication it will comply with subpoenas issued by the Senate Judiciary Committee in connection with the administration's warrant-free eavesdropping on Americans. A White House spokesman said it is unfortunate that the panel chose, quote, the route of confrontation, unquote. A car bomb killed 20 people at a busy intersection in Baghdad today. 40 others were wounded, dozens of cars destroyed. Iraqi police also say 20 beheaded bodies were found on a riverbank south of the capital city. In the southern city of Basra, 3 British troops were killed today by a roadside bomb, another badly wounded. Israel's President Moshe Katsav has struck a plea deal to avoid rape charges and prison time. Katsav will instead receive a suspended sentence for sexual harassment and pay damages to several women who worked for him. He'll resign office today and be replaced by Shimon Peres. Members of the House voted to increase their annual pay by $4,400 for a total of $170,000 a year. The annual pay raise was actually due back in January, but it was held back until after Congress voted to increase the minimum wage. The Senate votes today on whether or not to limit debate on the controversial immigration bill being promoted by President Bush. The legislation needs 60 votes to be put up for final passage. 11 people have lost their lives as torrential rains continue to batter central Texas. The National Weather Service says it's the wettest June on record for the state of Texas. More than 2,000 firefighters continue to slowly gain control over a stubborn forest fire near South Lake Tahoe. Flames are now 55% contained. More than 3,000 acres, 200 homes have burned. First Lady Laura Bush continues her tour of Africa in Mozambique, announcing that the country will receive more than $500 million in aid from the U.S. The money will be used to build roads for clean water and farm aid. According to the latest U.S. Census figures for 2006, America's largest cities are shrinking in population. We'll take a look at science and business news, and that's just ahead. But now this message.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank. SBA Preferred Lender and Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Scientists have discovered a new type of embryonic stem cell in mice and rats that should speed up research into regenerative medicine and help in the hunt for cures to a range of diseases. The new cells constitute a missing link between mouse and human embryonic stem cells. The American bald eagle is being removed from the endangered species list, capping 4 decades of efforts to restore their dwindling numbers. Biologists have counted nearly 10,000 mating pairs of the U.S. national symbol, with at least 1 pair in each of the 48 contiguous states. The federal interest rate is expected to hold steady at 5.25% as the Fed Reserve wraps up a 2-day meeting. The number of U.S. mortgage applications fell for the 2nd straight week as interest rates remained near recent highs. Orders to U.S. factories for big-ticket manufactured goods plunged in May by the largest amount in 4 months. And Adelphia Communications founder John Regas and his son will go to prison in mid-August. They're convicted 3 years ago in one of the worst cases of bank fraud in U.S. history. Lights Week crude at $69.55. That's up 58 cents. Wednesday's closing numbers on Wall Street, the Dow up 90 points at 13,427, NASDAQ up 31, S&P 500 up 13. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look. Right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, Head On. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And we got a really, really, really different show today. Something different, at least for us. We've got a bit of an interview a little bit later in the program, not too far off. We're going to have a gentleman by the name of Mr. Andrew Patterson. And he's involved in a few green online television and media projects, one called Eco for the World, and the other is ecobuzz.net, which I mentioned a few weeks ago. You can check out Eco for the World at ecofortheworld.com. That's E-C-O, the number 4, theworld.com. And we're gonna do that here in a little bit, and so we're gonna actually hold off on the phone lines here for just a little bit. We might open them up later in the program after we've had a little bit of a chat with Andrew, and maybe perhaps we'll take a couple of phone calls. So but we'll get to that in a little bit. I didn't actually get to mention this yesterday about the fact that Al Gore and his film won 2 Oscars, and, you know, good on Al. Really, really good on Al. So, you know, it's all good, you know. I mean, the awareness that An Inconvenient Truth has given to the issue of climate change has just been, fantastic. Now, there's been a bit of a how does one put it? The Huffington Post was covering the fact that some think tank that no one ever heard of printed a story yesterday saying that they had gotten a hold of Al Gore's energy bills and that he used something like 20 times the national household average in power. And, you know, I wasn't able to find the post again this morning, but it's somewhere at the Huffington Post. They were doing an a running post about the fact that it seemed to be that this think tank that no one had ever heard of, you know, dropped the pebble into the pool, and then the ripple effect started, and suddenly all the rest of the right wing blogosphere started picking this thing up, and I think MSNBC picked up on it, blah 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 blah, and suddenly what may have been nothing got exploded into this just thing that had a life of its own. Now, there's a few arguments to have here. Now, first of all, how did they get a hold of his billing records? Okay, this is my first question. You know, now the other thing is, even in the comment thread, Huffington Post, you know, there was data released about the fact that on Al Gore's property, which is a 20-room mansion or something or other, he's installed solar panels and all this stuff, and supposedly runs on 100% green power. And then the other thing that people are calling him a hypocrite on is the fact that, you know, he's flying all over the world spreading his message. Well, he does buy carbon credits, offset credits, to deal with that, whether, you know, there are pros and cons to that whole system. However, he's doing everything he can to spread the message. He's doing everything he can to limit his damage. And look at, you know, I reckon that there's got to be a little room given here. I mean, imagine what goes on at that home. And one of our bloggers is telling me that his power company is denying that they gave it to this outfit. You know, I don't even want to glorify their existence, but it just proved that there is that pebble theory. And once the ripple starts, once the smear machine, the swift boat machine, wants to get going, they can go hardcore. Now, I did see earlier that actually, all these claims were kind of dealt with on Keith Olbermann a couple nights ago, but I haven't actually caught the video of that myself. So you know, there's a number of arguments to be had here, and I think, you know, if anything else, you know, I'm immediately suspicious that, you know, they have to, you know, I hate to say right-wingers, but that's where it does come from, unfortunately, that they have to try and discredit what he's doing, you know, and the fact that he has brilliantly reinvented himself, you know, over the past, you know, since 2000, since, you know, he won but didn't win the election, and, you know, so... be interesting to follow. And the guys at Huffington Post said that they, you know, they're following the money, and I haven't had a chance to really go back and follow up on it. So I tell you what, we're going to go a little early to our first break because our interview is hanging on hold on the line. So what we're going to do is we're going to go take this first break, and we're going to come back and speak with Andrew about Eco for the World and ecobuzz.net. So everybody, you're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back with Andrew after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business center. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Palo Vida, and it was a multi-level marketing company that reaped that pyramid.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes. It was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Tuh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and on the line we have from EcoBuzz.net and EcoForTheWorld.com, Mr. Andrew Patterson. Welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Great, thanks, John. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing excellent, man. I'm doing fantastic. So just to get started, tell us a little bit about Eco for the World, the television program that you're involved in.
Okay, well, our company is called Big Durian Productions, and we were started a few years back to do environmental programming and to relay positive stories about the environment to the world and to youth and people that basically the masses. So the first product we have is Echo for the World, and that's a TV series, a 13-episode TV series, which does just that. It shows positive environmental stories ranging from all types of topics. Food, travel, technology, business, entertainment, celebrities, and so forth. So it's aimed at a wide audience.
The general point is to try and spread some of what is actually happening, not so much
exactly.
the danger stuff at which a lot of us already understand, but the fact that there are some good things going on out there, and if more people knew about them, maybe we could grow on that a little bit faster.
Correct. I mean, when you watch the news or when you watch TV, it's easy to find scary apocalyptic stories about the Earth or the world or politics are heading. But we don't do that. We'd rather show positive things and actually, like you said, what people have done. So not everybody's perfect, and it's easy to be a critic, but if you look at what companies or individuals or celebrities are doing, they're not all perfect. I mean, when we interviewed Sting, he said that. He said, you know, I'm not perfect. I drive a car. I fly a plane. But I do care about what I do. So, you know, he is making active steps towards education, and we'd like to reward him for that and show the youth and older people alike just exactly what others are doing and positive effects they can have from that, and hopefully inspire people to do the same.
Well, I mean, that's really good, and you know, that's, I think, the whole point is the fact that, you know, the example that you use with Sting, you know, and I mean, I used to work in that industry, so I used to always deal with the same quagmire that, you know, a little bit that, you know, a lot of us, you know, are preaching this message, blah, 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 but yet our own industry in its own way can be very not environmentally friendly, and we need to kind of find a way to change our habits and the way that we go about doing our business. And that, and to segue slightly to the other project, which is ecobuzz.net, which is an online community that is an off kind of a sidebar to Eco for the World?
Yeah, the original concept was still stands, but the way it was conceived was that if we have a TV series that's inspiring people or just changing people's minds at the very least and showing them new ways of approaching the world and the planet and the future for our future generations, that's one thing. But then what? I mean, so what? You can watch a TV series, get a little bit inspired, and then change the channel and watch MTV and forget about it? Well, we'd rather have something, a call to action. So by coming onto our website, echofortheworld.com, and therefore onto EchoBuzz, echobuzz.net, we devised a system for people to actually come in here and communicate and meet with others in a community. It's been called a MySpace for environmentalists, but I wouldn't actually say it's environmentalists. It's just normal people who are concerned about the future of our planet. So, back to what I was saying. You watch the TV series, get inspired, come online, and connect with other people who may be involved in projects in your area. So it could be you're in Sydney, I'm in Singapore. Maybe we're in the same place, but maybe you're working with a foundation or an NGO in Sydney that's doing something great for the environment. And I'd like to sort of perhaps do a similar thing or replicate that here. Maybe it's a beach cleanup in Singapore.
Right.
And so this gives people a way to communicate and connect and collaborate and actually inspiration or awareness to actual on-the-ground activities and, you know, action, basically. So we're not forcing people into anything, but we're giving them the option to find others with similar interests that are actually doing something offline. Because it's only when things happen offline that anything really makes, that, you know, we're really making a difference.
Absolutely. And I'm just at the Eco for the World site here, and I see that you've got, you know, some pretty good partnerships going. You're involved. You've got the sanctioning of the United Nations Environmental Program. You're involved with the World Wildlife Fund. What are some of the things that you do with these organizations?
Well, United Nations Environment Program, UNEP, is we're in a partnership with them, so they endorse what we're doing, and in turn we endorse their Millennium Development Goals, in particular number 7, which is environmental sustainability. We're completing their, you know, we're initiating and furthering their agenda of environmental sustainability and the dissemination of this message to the masses through our TV series and our other initiatives, online and interactive initiatives and other things. And so they have no reason to not support us. So that's it's similar with other alliances that we have. So I mean, it's not financial, it's not anything else, it's just for the love of the environment and the genuine care that these people have in furthering a positive environmental message to the world.
Well, and when you and I had a chat yesterday afternoon, you were talking about one of the things, and you mentioned that although the TV series isn't in wide distribution as of yet, you've been doing some stuff, was it with MSNBC?
Actually, with CNBC.
CNBC, my apologies.
Yeah, so we have a few different products, Echo for the World, Echo for the World Business, Echo for the World Stars, and others. But Our newest, well, our the product that's going on the air soonest is Echo for the World Business. So this is essentially the Echo for the World business stories that we have shot, meaning stories that relate to business and corporate social responsibility, and they're combined in one series, which will go out to a business audience. So that's through CNBC. Whereas Echo for the World, currently it's being aired in some places, but it's generally not such a business angled kind of series. It's more of a mass market entertainment magazine style program. So
that's
Echo
right.
for the World
so,
business is what we're doing now. Yeah, with CNBC.
Okay. So now, you know, say our listeners were interested in the program, and maybe wanted to point their you know local affiliate or of some station that they thought might be warm to the idea. How is there anything that they might be able to do? Should they point their affiliates to just to the website, to Big Durian Productions? Is there anything that the listeners can do to help move the program onto a wider market?
Yeah, for Echo for the World, if that's you know, that would be a good approach. Probably the best thing is our website, echoforworld.com. So that pretty much shows everything that we do and has links to everything else. Big Durian, our company website, would work too, but echoforthe world.com is certainly more focused on the Echo for the World series, which is Echo for the World and Echo for the World Business. But
right.
Echo for the World Business is will be on CNBC, while Echo for the World is we're currently distributing that, but we have some deals with some places, but the most imminent one is Echo for the World Business.
Well, you know, and that's a good thing. Now, do you have like an example of a story that would be one of these, you know, business stories, good business stories that are out there? And are you doing this in a way that it doesn't come off as being like an overshadowy kind of propaganda tool for business, but yet it's really an organic thing saying, hey, look, you know, these people are actually doing something good. As you said, nobody's perfect, but they're
right.
trying. And do you have
well,
an example
of stories? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, what would be an example or two of that kind of story?
Okay, well, some of the companies we've shot stories with are companies like DHL, Office Depot, if you're in the U.S., you know who they are, AMD,
yep.
the chip makers, Starbucks, ING, the insurance company and bank, Johnson & Johnson, Dow. I mean, there are lots of them. And because these companies are all doing positive things for the environment, and they deserve some type of recognition in the business world. Corporate social responsibility, the global compact, things like this are increasingly taking a more mainstream, you know, getting more of a mainstream audience now, and we feel it's a great opportunity to use this as a way to show business leaders around the world what companies are doing to promote the Millennium Development Goals in general,
right.
especially number 7, environmental sustainability, and actually give them a platform to show what they've been doing. So like you said, I mean, obviously the stories are genuinely good environmental stories. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to show them. So
right.
they're not,
okay.
They're not corporate videos, if that's what you mean.
Right. You know, and I'm not saying that they work, because I've had a look at some of the promo material, and you know, it's that thing in this era of you know, where media access is a little skewed. And we have seen things like corporate news reports come out of like the U.S. government and things like that. That you have to ask the questions. Now we're about to head out to a break, and if you can stick around to the break, I'd love to continue this.
Sounds good.
Okay, and I actually want to ask you, because we're an internet-based radio station at the moment. You mentioned AMD and what they're doing, and I've covered a lot about the the greenness of construction of computers, things like that. There's there's actually an outfit that's created a biodegradable LCD monitor so that once it's lost its life, you can bury it and 2 years later it's gone. Things like removing the lead components and the acid components from the etching of the circuit boards and things. So, just hang on, Andrew. We'll come back to that after we take a quick break. So, everybody, we're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. If you'd like to ring in and have a question for Andrew, on what we're talking about here, eco for the world or just the environment in general, environment in the media, anything kind of like within the scope we're talking about, love to do that. So stick around. We'll be right back after this. Won't you come with me to a place in a little town? The only way to get there is to go straight down. There's a
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and a little bit of horror movie going on there. And We've still got on the line from Durian Productions, Mr. Andrew Patterson, and you can find out more information about what Andrew does at ecoeco4theworld.com and ecobuzz.net. And Andrew, as we were going to the break, you were mentioning a few kind of positive business stories, and because we're an internet-based operation here, you mentioned that AMD, the chip maker, had a positive story about them. What are they doing?
Yeah, okay, I don't have, we've done 26 of them. I don't have all the synopses in front of me, but if I remember correctly, their story is about an initiative to spread, internet connections for third world countries and people who need it most.
Oh,
so it's not specifically environmentally related, but it is in line with the United Nations Millennium Development Goals. So I know there are a lot of issues about heavy metals and other things in technology, but theirs is more towards a educational issue in third world countries.
And really, that's a social justice issue, and I would think, and social justice issues are just as important as environmental issues, and very often, in many ways, they end up intertwining. Now, we'll kind of go off the project. Now, as you said, like with EcoBuzz, it's a community where people can get together and share information and give details about things that they're doing or things that they found, their communities, whatever. What in particular, has there been anything recently that you've really come across that has really made you go, hey, that's something really in line with what we need to be doing? Has there been, what do you see as some things in the forefront that we really should be doing to make the most difference?
Well, I think what I can see as the biggest thing right now is the media in general. Now, I'm not talking about the internet or just, whatever. Just the media in general, like mass media. I'm talking about like celebrities, like Al Gore, what he's been doing lately in his Academy Award. I mean, even the Academy Awards were environmentally friendly, the food, the ballots, everything, the plates, the silverware, the transportation.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is the media is really pushing this to the forefront, and this isn't something that's political. It's not something that's up for dispute. It's mainstream. It's the environment. It's not some fringe groups living in the woods in Oregon. It's something we all have to address. Like I said, it's not political. That's what I'm saying.
That's actually something that you and I discussed in our conversation yesterday about the fact this really has to be brought to be a nonpartisan issue, and where I've mentioned about the program here on Channel 7 in Australia, that they really have done a really good job at making it an across the board issue, that it isn't a fringe issue. And those of us that have been involved in the cause, which I don't really necessarily like that terminology, it's no longer a fringe issue. It never actually was, and moving the focus to the fact that this is a global thing, and until we all get on with this thing, we really that's the key. Everybody's got to get in on it, regardless of what it is in particular that we do. Everyone has to change their mindset and the way that they actually go about their lives and their business. And this is one of the things that I thought was interesting when I first signed up for EcoBuzz, is that the profile is broken up into three different sections, which is your personal, your business, and what was the third one?
Environmental.
And environmental, obviously.
That's right.
And the fact that you can, it's not just about you, but it's also about your business. And this is where I think the Stern report really, really was worth so much, was the fact that it actually it gave that financial figure for business to have a look, and it really woke up.
And it brings to the forefront the fact that this is a business opportunity as well, more than anything. I mean, not more than anything, but it is a business opportunity. And like I was telling you yesterday, only when economy and the dollars and cents behind things start to make sense will this really move on a global scale across the board and across industries. So, you know, that's why we feel it's crucial to show what corporate social responsibility is happening in the world, if not for the environmental ramifications, for the business trends that it's setting. And like I said earlier, we don't have a choice, but that's a bit of a hard approach. Our TV series and everything else that we do isn't so, it's not like, hey man, you gotta turn your lights off, you gotta do this, you gotta start driving an alternative fuel vehicle or take the bus or walk or ride a bike. It's not like that. It's more like, look, this is what, you know, Ryan Seacrest is doing, and this is what David Duchovny is doing, and then we interview them and hear straight from their mouths what they're doing. And hey, maybe all you guys who can't get away from the X-Files and American Idol will start to gain some inspiration from that. I mean, we're not about telling people you don't have a choice, but we're more like saying, look, these guys are doing it this way. You can be cool too. And that's sort of the way it works. It's the same with the business. It's the same with businesses. Even businesses which are not necessarily regarded as being the most environmentally friendly, they are doing positive things for the environment. And while they're not perfect, we want to reward them and praise them and credit them for what they have done and the people's lives that they have changed. And we go into these rural communities oftentimes, and we interview these people. And I've done it myself in India, in Azerbaijan, in some cool places, Indonesia, and met with these people who had previously been marginalized, but then a big company might come in and get involved in an environmental or social project to reinvigorate that community's economy, whether it's through microfinance or through just the social philanthropy that they're involved in. And once we can see the smiling farmer or children or things like this, we realize that business can have an impact which is not only negative and not only for their bottom line necessarily, but actually to the people and to the earth and to our future and hopefully our future generation. So we want to show that, and we're not going to dwell on the negative and the apocalyptic problems that are happening around us. We already know those, man. Everybody knows those. That's old news.
I understand what you mean there, and I'm getting the impression that the idea is hopefully that if we cheerlead them on a bit, that it will then spurn them to continue to do more and more of that in their business practices.
Correct. And we've only done 26 of these. So imagine what the other companies out there, all these executives at home watching CNBC, when they see it, it's more like, hey, man, these guys are leading by example. Why can't you do the same? So,
well, one of the examples that I gave you yesterday when I was telling you about the Lights Off Australia campaign that's coming up, that the head of Zurich Finance at the World Economic Summit, actually, or meeting, whatever they just had just in the last couple of weeks, at his keynote address, it was all about the environment.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, business is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, smart business, you know, and I mean, we do have industries that are way too stuck to certain technologies, and we have to find ways of reverting some of the funding, especially public funding that goes to antiquated technologies, and really, really shift over to, you know, renewable sources of energy, and actually looking at, and this to me is really key, is that even though we need an international agreement like Kyoto, which I think once Australia and the United States pull their head out of their ass and sign on, we'll be able to truly move forward into the second stage. But it can't be a situation where it's one solution for all nations, because I think that there are some very specific solutions that are location specific. Like there's science out there that Australia in, I think, 20 years could easily build a what they call a geothermal solar electrical generation system that in 20 years could replace the entire grid. And the research outfit actually said, we know this can work. We've already done it on small scale, and we have this huge, you know, burnt middle of the country that is just exposed to sunlight 24/7, 365 days a year. Why does Australia not take its most abundant natural unused energy source and use it to create completely green power?
Sure.
You know, and that the, you know, maybe, you know, and cert, you know, and there's other things like, you know, tidal generation that could probably work in some places where maybe wind and solar wouldn't be quite so viable, and the fact that it's more about setting the goals, and that we actually need really concrete things to shoot for, and then it's finding the ways to do that as fast as possible.
Sure, exactly. And like I said, once the business is realized that it's economically beneficial and it's good for their PR as well. I mean, they do realize that. They all realize that. But what are they doing? They're not all doing as much as they could be. Of course, in Europe and to some degree in the U.S., they're much more active in these things. But like you said, in each place it needs to be tailored to that, to the needs of that area. You couldn't have a solar facility very well in Ireland, and you couldn't have a, you know, whatever. Everywhere is different, but I think it's happening. And
yeah,
I
well,
think
you mentioned, you know, solar, you know, maybe not in Ireland, but you want to know a really, really what I find depressing statistic as far as Australia is concerned is Germany has been installing over the last couple of years 100 times more solar panels than Australia.
Wow.
And that tells you something about the technology there has moved forward enough that the Germans who, because I lived in Germany for a little while, and their rate of putting wind turbines up and the fact that they had created a very easy system of installing them on farms, making it economically viable and an incentive for the actual landowner, because he gets all the power he wanted off of the wind that he generated, and any extra went back into the grid, and they were able to do it with minimal damage to the fields, blah blah blah. And they caught on early that they only have so much land, and
right,
they have taken waste control to a really high level, and obviously, you know, they think solar is good enough that they can do it at 100 times per capita than Australia, the sunniest place on the planet, which I just think is insane. But
sure.
You know, I think what you're doing is fantastic, and I really can't wait to actually, you know, see the series myself in full, because I think it's important to, you know, I kind of try and do, I would think, a little bit similar to what you're doing, even though I do more of the science and the doomsday stuff. I do try and make what I do entertaining and somewhat fun, at least, to keep people engaged. So, you know, the way you're going about this, I think, is something that is needed, because we still don't have enough of this in the media, even though it's growing at the moment.
Right, yeah, and I mean, like I said before, the bottom line, besides business, is to get viewers and to get people actually interested in the environment to actually do something. It's celebrities. I mean, we've interviewed probably 60 or 70 celebrities, people like Gorbachev, Desmond Tutu, even some Australians, Ian Thorpe, Kathy Freeman.
Kathy Freeman, did you actually do that one by any chance?
It wasn't me personally. It was my colleague Clive. But
okay,
because yeah,
because I actually had a long conversation with Kathy a few years ago in Perth, and she was just a fascinating, fascinating individual, and I found her one of the most genuine people I've ever met in my life. I was touring with a singer, and at a function, the two of them got talking, and I was tour managing for them, and I got in this just wonderful conversation with her, and it was, you know, not far after the Olympics, before she announced her retirement, and I just found her a fascinating individual.
Excellent. So did we. I mean, I've seen the interview. It was great. So this is, I think this is what makes things happen.
Yeah, and I really, really think it's a great thing that you're doing. So with that, mate, I think we're going to wrap it up because I got to come back and wrap up the show. But I so appreciate your time today, and I want to do this again and maybe get you on a regular basis. I think it would be a great thing.
Thanks a lot, John. That'd be great. I love your show, and, yeah, see you on EchoBuzz.
Okay, man, we will see you there. And everybody, big thank you to Andrew Patterson from EcoForTheWorld.com. Go over and check out what they've got there. There's all kinds of, they've got a news ticker, they've got a list of the supporters, some samples there, and about what they do. And then go by EcoBuzz.net. It's a growing new community, and it's loosely a MySpace kind of thing for greens, but really it's just kind of a cool little community, and you can set up blogs and the whole rigmarole. So, all right, folks, we're going to take a quick break and come back and wrap things up for the day. This has been great fun. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to have a couple messages, and we'll be right back.
To me, my darling, come on to me. Let you see, yeah, where my love can be. Yeah. Let me hold you in my arms till the storm when you come to me.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Glad Wally and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. Place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Head On Radio Network, and I got just a couple minutes left, and you just never know what the bloggers are going to throw at you, and I do believe Susan threw this one at me. Walmart brand chicken, now with steel hex nut. Oh, geez, mechanized food production, they're worries other than the ones you thought. Well, and from theconsumerist.com, it says, well, this is gross. Now included with your bag of Walmart's great value house brand chicken breasts, a steel hex nut off a very large bolt. We've heard of getting a prize at a box of Cracker Jacks, but this is ridiculous. And it says here, the chicken's owner has informed the USDA but has not heard back. And I agree with the poster here. Ew. And they got photos here. Oh, my. Not only is there organic... and that was Gene. Thank you, Gene. not only is there organic food, not organic, you get a little extra iron with your chicken. That's just insane. Oh, my. All right. you know, that was a really, really cool conversation with Andrew, because it's just all, you know, getting the word out in the media. And, yeah, you know, a lot of times it can be very, very doomsday, and the other side likes to have a go at us sometimes. But, you know, it takes a little bit of, you know, it takes a little bit of work to, you know, make a slightly difficult subject fun and without belittling it. So, you know, there you go. That's just the fact, Jack. So anyway, folks, I really please go check out ecofortheworld.com and ecobuzz.net, and there are links on today's show post to those sites, and you can see Andrew's got a few blogs on his EcoBuzz. And I think we'll be doing some more stuff with these folks in the future. Andrew and I have been having a bit of a dialogue over the last month or so since I believe it was Gene first sent me the link to EcoBuzz, which I thought was quite cool. So big thanks to Andrew for talking to us today. And big thanks to Agnes Kincaid for producing the program today. Brilliant job. Thanks to the bloggers for everything. Thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. The streaming and the archives, always there. The hardest working man in progressive talk radio. Again, the bloggers, our mods, Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers, the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters for everything that they do for us. Geez, I don't know. Scott Barry at B1 Ladder Productions. We didn't have a track of the day today. I just, you know, I figured we were going to be more than full with having Andrew on the show today. So, as we say here on Foxed Up, folks, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
I would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating
always licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness. The loneliness of being misunderstood. Or more poignantly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. The Supreme Court is expected to issue a series of rulings today, including one concerning the use of race to assign students to public schools. Justices could also hand down a ruling on the case of a Texas death row inmate whose lawyers say he should be spared the death penalty because he is mentally ill. The White House has so far given no indication it will comply with subpoenas issued by the Senate Judiciary Committee in connection with the administration's warrant-free eavesdropping on Americans. A car bomb killed 20 people at a busy intersection in Baghdad today. 40 others were wounded. Iraqi police also say 20 beheaded bodies were found on a riverbank south of the capital city. In the southern city of Basra, 3 British troops were killed today by a roadside bomb, another badly wounded. A Libyan man jailed in connection with the 1988 bombing of a U.S. airliner over Lockerbie, Scotland, has won the right to a second appeal. Abdel Basset Ali Mohamed Al-Megrani was convicted of blowing up Pan Am Flight 103, killing all 259 passengers and 11 people on the ground. New British Prime Minister Gordon Brown chose his new cabinet today, which reportedly includes David Miliband as the new Foreign Secretary. Brown took over as Prime Minister yesterday. Israel's President Moshe Katsav has struck a plea deal to avoid rape charges and prison time. Katsav will instead receive a suspended sentence for sexual harassment and pay damages to several women who worked for him. He'll resign office today and be replaced by Shimon Peres. UN inspectors are visiting North Korea's main nuclear reactor today. It'll be shut down according to an agreement between North Korea and the U.S. after a banking dispute between the two countries was resolved.